All right, we'll call to order this month of April, the Westland Arts and Culture Commission meeting. Oh, there she is. Hi, Carrie. Since we do have somebody joining us today for public comments, I was thinking we could just do a quick round of real inter quick introductions. I'm Lauren. I am the very, very recently elected chair. I'll go to Carrie.
Hey there, I'm Carrie Gilbert, I'm vice chair.
MJ.
MJ Steele, member.
Nancy.
Hi, I'm Nancy, and I'm a member.
Beata.
I'm Beata, and I'm a member too.
And then Mary.
I'm Mary Baumgartner, Council Liaison.
Great. And Doug, last but definitely not least.
Well, yeah. Doug Erickson, hey everybody, the staff liaison for arts and culture.
Great. So Jody, for us, you were kind of a last minute addition, but we thought we'd welcome your comments and whatever you wanted to share here at our public comments agenda item, which is top of the list. So if you want to take it, you're
All right. Well, I'm Jody Carson, and I am the chair of the design committee of the Willamette Main Street Group. And I know you've had a variety of people attend these meetings, and we decided that it'd be good to have a consistent person as the liaison between the Main Street Group and this group, since clearly we really want to see some artwork on historic Willamette Main Street. And I know there's been some discussions in the past of planters, and I think my committee sort of said, oh, let's hold on that a minute. And probably you may have questions on why we recommended holding on that. If I'd be happy to answer them if you do. And basically, the design committee's responsibility based on the whole Main Street approach is to make Main Street an attractive and welcoming place so that people will want to come and visit and stay. So I think us working closely with you on projects in the future will be very important. And so I will try to attend on a regular basis and just listen. I would appreciate if you just include me, on your mailing list. And if there's particular items that I would like to bring to you or you would like to have us consider, please let me know and we can make sure that we have the, if there's somebody else other than me that needs to attend, that would be great. We have a couple of projects in the works right now, which hopefully will be adding to the ambiance of Main Street. Some banners should be coming soon. But I'm happy to answer any questions. And otherwise, I'll just listen in and be available in the future as we go forward to work with you on any kind of projects that one of us can envision, any one of us can envision.
Well, I appreciate you making the time to come and for historic Main Street to identify, sort of having a liaison. It probably wouldn't hurt if we reciprocated. I don't know how often you guys meet,
The
but.
design committee meets monthly, once a month, and we have a Zoom meeting, same thing as you all have. So we'd love to have someone join us. I think it's usually if we really cover a lot of ground and try to keep things moving, and we have a lot of sort of signage projects in the future. And so your input in those projects would probably be helpful as well.
Well, welcome. Does anybody have any questions off the bat? All right. Well, we'll get into our stuff. Some of it probably will be slightly less riveting than other stuff, but
Jody, I'll make sure that you're added to the list so you'll get the invites and the Zoom information when it's when we send
great.
it up
Thank you,
to the
Doug.
group. Yeah, you bet.
Appreciate it.
Great. Doug, I was going to put up the minutes, but I don't know. Do I have control here? Can I? Oh, look at that.
Let me share that with you. Let's see.
You probably have share screen control already, at least.
Now you should if you don't.
I did.
Let me see.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So can you guys see that? No. Oh.
We just see your file folder where the where it's saved, but we don't see the actual minutes.
Oh no. Now do you see it?
Check your share settings, maybe.
I see there's a green box. I'm sorry. I typically don't drive on the Zooms. So give me just a second. I can see what is being shared. And I don't want to share that.
You'll need to say stop share or do not share and then just select word.
We'll get there, people. We'll get there. Okay. Start share. There we go. How about now? You see those minutes? Great. So these are the minutes from our March meeting. I looked them over. Didn't have any changes, but maybe somebody else caught something. Those look good to you guys. I'll take a motion to pass them.
Move to approve the March meeting minutes.
Second. Anybody opposed? Great. So passed. Thank you for taking those, Doug. Okay, so moving on to our next agenda item. I will stop sharing that. So we've got, I don't know, Carrie sent out an email 2 days ago, very recently, with the, the last, hopefully, version of the bylaws and a few comments about that. And I will go ahead and pull those up and then I'll just hand things over to you, Carrie.
I did hear back from Jackie in the city of Redmond and she explained for the insurance piece that that was really more for kind of community driven art projects where they're like where they've commissioned something and something is being created on city property. And she said for the, I think it was the workers' comp piece, that no longer even applies, that they make exceptions nearly 100% of the time for that. So I'm thinking that we're safe keeping it out of this document and then only including, because presumably we'll have different types of contracts for different types of projects. So loaning an existing piece of art versus commissioning something that gets hung on a wall versus something that has, you know, larger physical structures being created where there's more of a risk of somebody getting injured. Each one of those would have a different type of potential for liability. So I'm officially suggesting that we kick that can down the road and only bake that into the contracts where it's a real risk. And I think if you could scroll down to the two places where things got modified. So right there, so this is separate from that, the insurance topic, but I realized that there was something about making reproductions right in here, which again, that probably makes more sense in the context of an individual contract where we may or may not, that may or may not make sense, may or may not want that. So I removed that from here. And then the next piece is the only other significant change. And that was the insurance piece, which I just removed. And then I added more language around the potential for leasing just to make sure we were making this more of an umbrella document for all different ways art could be acquired permanently or otherwise. So I apologize for getting this out too late to be an official part of the meeting packet, but I'm hoping that people can take a look at this and then presumably next time we could vote on it to become official. Mm-hmm. And I assume the next steps after we officialize it would be to then submit it to council for their approval, since it's an extension of the city code, essentially.
I have one comment, I'm sorry. That is, I think there's a one step between that, and that would be once we have it done, I think Bill Monahan talked about it going to CIS for their review, which is the city's insurance company. So once that happens, then I think it can go to council. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I thought that only needed to happen for the actual contracts where we got more into the weeds on that. Because in this case, we're actually striking all things insurance from this document.
Okay. How about I check up on that, make sure that's right, and then I can respond to that during this month. Does that seem fair? Okay.
Okay, great. Well, I will add, sort of final review and approval to our May agenda. So if everybody can just take some time and if there's comments or questions, hopefully we can get through those pretty quickly since it's been a long haul to get to where we are. But I appreciate all the work you put in, Carrie. It's really super helpful. And Nancy, of course, too. And myself.
Yeah, I think that's almost done.
Okay, great.
Oh, and just on a related note, I also reached out. So we already have some sample contracts from when we first started talking to other cities last January, since I actually was just looking at those emails. This has indeed been a long time coming. And I also reached out to Milwaukee and they said they would send over sample contracts. So hopefully we'll have additional examples to pull from when we decide to move ahead with that.
Wonderful. Any other comments or questions on this topic before we move on?
No.
Great. Thank you again, Carrie. All right. So the next item I have assigned to Doug, which there may not be much to share, really.
There's just a little bit to share.
Okay.
So we reached out to Parks. I reached out to Parks and Recreation, Ken Warner, and also to Finance to talk to them about if there had once been, there's kind of been this thought that there may have been an art list of publicly owned art by the city that had been accumulated and inventoried at some point. To his awareness, there wasn't one that he knew of. Mel took a lot of time to look through our archives, both online and in person, to see if there was something that came up from that, and there wasn't. But when we did reach out to Finance, they did send over, I think we asked for all the art, but they sent over the library, probably being a little confused that we were just thinking about the library, which we weren't. So there may be some more information on that. I'm happy to share that with you here. Can you see that? This is what they defined as a list from their capital asset work paper. So most entities like a city or municipality have writers or colleges or art institutions and galleries, so that they either have a blanket policy or they go around and inventory the things they have and have a separate writer for it. I imagine this is what it was created for. As you can see, there are some things in here I have no idea what they're talking about. One is calligraphy that was done nearly 30 years ago. I'm not quite sure. Maybe MJ, you remember what maybe the calligraphy piece was?
The calligraphy piece was commissioned by Alan and Elsie Lewis.
Oh, I remember. Oh, it's the one that's over as you, I'm sorry, now I remember. Yeah. It's a piece that goes right as you come in from the garden,
right,
or from the foyer. It's right above it. Yes.
It's right above.
All right. So, yes, I do know what that is, actually. Thank you then for the reminder. Then there's the decorative columns, the kinetic sculpture, skylight and ceiling, paintings above the fireplace that now have returned to that position, and large oil paintings and exterior ceramic forms. I believe that when they're talking about the ceramic forms, they're talking about the installation, the gathering that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure, but the identification of seven of them, that seems to be correct. So maybe we can update it to what it actually is. And then the hanging steel, which is the rain kind of sculpture that sits right by the holds, or right over the holds, I should say. That's the other piece that they're talking about. I don't know, again, if this is identified as how much it cost us to have these repaid, we paid for them to have them created, or whether this is a number that has been consistently been updated for inflation. That I'm not familiar with. But those will be questions that I can ask, and hopefully there are some other pieces of art that will appear from this, you know, insurance rider when we talk more in detail with finance about it. And I'll be talking with the director tomorrow morning, so I'm happy to update you in next month or throughout this month through email.
I mean, that's a small mistake. Yeah, I know, but it's built this week.
Thank you, Doug, for sharing that. I know Mel said she'd been digging. So having something seems good.
Doug, question. What is meant by the decorative columns?
Warum kriege ich die nicht mehr hin?
I thought you weren't going to ask that question. I'm not quite sure what they mean by the decorative columns. I would focus on the calligraphy. Does it ring a bell for you, MJ?
Yes, I think okay. I do know. What, yeah. I think those two decorative columns were the columns that were in the children's room when it was in where it is now, the conference room. And they were custom columns with custom tiles. A lot of money was spent on those columns. I have no idea what was the...
I know we have column. I've seen a column before, but it is just a plain Roman white column. There's nothing on it or anything, any other addition to it.
No, these were... these had scenes on the tiles themselves that were, storybook items. It was really quite lovely because there was the father, mother, and baby bear chairs in there. And as I said, I'm pretty sure those are what the two columns are.
Right. Well, I'll ask folks around here. I've heard about the columns before. I will also reach out to about 13 directors ago, Pam Williams, and ask her if she remembers anything or what their final disposition was, might have been for that. She may not. I'll reach out to Pam and ask for that.
Okay, thanks. Because if Pam doesn't, Sue Waddell's around too.
All right.
Thank you.
On a related inventory note, I reached out to the Clackamas County Arts Alliance once again, but through a different avenue, and heard back pretty quickly that the woman who responded, who I believe is their new executive director, didn't know of any inventories at the county level, but said that it sounded intriguing and it piqued her curiosity, and she was going to start asking around and digging to see if she could locate anything. She also indicated that they have a new committee for local arts organizations, and lassoed me into being our liaison. So I will be attending that meeting in a few weeks, and we'll share anything exciting in May.
Lauren, you're muted.
I was just jotting that down and noting we have liaisons all over the place. Great. Well, Jody already gave us a little bit of a intro to this, but our next old business item is collaboration with the Historical Society. And I know Beata had been in touch with a couple different people, maybe one person. So just sort of touching base on this, I think this can kind of live on the agenda as an old business item. And as we refine what we want to do together, then maybe it gets more specific, but I just didn't want to lose sight of our goal to collaborate with that group. So Beata, do you have any update? I know you sent me an email. I can't remember what it said.
Oh, it's not the historical, but I was talking to the person who is in the arts and culture. Well, how do they say that? Yeah, comedy in Wilsonville. And actually, they don't belong under the hood of the city. They are a nonprofit organization. And their information and their outreach is all by themselves. They only have a board, so they don't have members or anything. And I talked to the president, and he told me he was once inventing the Festival of Arts, what was, I guess, now a couple of years in Wilsonville. Last year didn't happen because of COVID, but that was their main like source of income. And besides that, they always write for grants. And the funny thing is, what he had explained to me was they get the grant also from Wilsonville City themselves or itself. And those grants were used for website creation, advertising, and also reaching out to artists who want to connect with them. And also the youth group, what is now creating a show about important people for them. So the high schoolers, I guess that's what it is. And that show will be all around the city in some places too, I guess like the library or anything, they will show that. But they was also want to do a travel show that it goes to businesses and all that. So they create also a list of things to create like we did, but they do it by themselves under the nonprofit organization. So there was kind of, yeah, I couldn't get more out for us in that case, only that they have a lot of ideas, and they also get RAC, Clackamas County, and Tualatin Valley as groups included in their spread of information. So I think that would be a platform for us as well. It doesn't matter if it's the city or we as a group can do that, or as they do it to spread the word. And I was asking him how he actually could get the public involved to vote on things, or now the high schoolers, that they do these show with their favorite people and such things. And he was like, they have the city and through the website, they announce it. And what did he say? He was, yeah. He has the Wix website, and they have a mail system. They give that out, the information. And what I found was really interesting, the city did a survey, but it was an outside consultant they had to find out what the city should do regarding arts. So now Westlin created us as a arts commission and go-to. But Wilsonville made, I guess, that survey to find out what is a good thing to get the public involved, what is anyway a good direction to go. Let me see what he said. And they come up, and we talked it about too. There is that in Shehalem, I hope I pronounced that right, there's that cultural center. And now they came up with the idea to create something similar in Wilsonville. I guess that would be great, something to do for Westlin too. The question is where and how much would it cost, and how does it at the end could look like. But I guess the city of Wilsonville is planning to go in that direction and create a cultural center. And I think that's a really big step, the city also provided, when I understood that right, the bylaws, and the group gets money from the tax. They help to get spaces rented. So that's all from the city, because they want to connect with these nonprofit groups. And that's, I guess, their goal, that they get more nonprofit groups in different adjacent cities, like whatever, West Lynn, Lake Oswego, wherever nonprofit are, and want to get them together and work with them together. So that's comes from the city of West Lynn. So overall, it was on one hand really interesting to hear, but on the other hand, it's not really helping us to find out how they did their research and everything, because we don't have that. We have the connection to the city of West Lynn. I guess we always have to find out a way. Can we do that on our own, or is the city always, has the city always been asked before if we can go for something? But as I said, I really was surprised about the survey the city created or did for figuring out what is a good approach to have art in the city. I was telling him if we want to know more or want to connect with him, we also can have him invited for one of the meetings, or because they only have a board and a president, that I don't know how many people are in there, but they have to don't have regular meetings. They do it on the go, I guess, because they have 4 shows per year, so their meetings are not really monthly or something. But he said if we invite him, or if he knows when they meet, one of us, or we can also join their meeting too. So Christopher, he has a hard last name, is his name, and he's the president. And yeah, was planning the Festival of Arts for sure. Yeah, that's so far what I can tell you. Yeah, and as maybe that's also something what we were talking about, the RAC, Regional Arts and Culture, then Clackamas County and Tualatin Valley. Those 3 things are, I guess, always a good thing to connect to spread the word if we want to do something. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Thank you. That's very thorough. And like you said, I think it's good news and bad news. I mean, it's it sounds pretty similar to like Oswego's model, where they get money and support from the city, but they're not part of the city. And so there are definitely some benefits to being a nonprofit.
One thing I want to add, so that's, I guess, MJ also loves that they also include dance shows, music, and do sort of pop-up shows, but the city is always helping with locations. They get grants from the city, but on the other hand, what he was telling me was like they have to pay the fee to the city again for all these locations. So, but in general, it's nice to get sort of money, but the main income was from the show, from the Festival of Arts in the summer. So now they are like, but they planned 4 events this year, and they are all virtual. And that's the first thing was that with the COVID, what I was telling you about, and then there should be a few more, but which and when exactly, I have no idea about that. But if you like, we can add him to another meeting or invite him to another meeting, and he can explain that by himself if that is helpful for us.
What do you guys think?
I could see it, especially since they're very event-centric. I could see that being particularly useful when the world starts to open back up, and if we're looking toward having live events here. To MJ's point, that I've only attended the Wilsonville Festival of the Arts, or whatever it's called, one time, and it was the last summer that people were doing such things. And that was one thing I was struck by, was that they had much more of an all-encompassing definition of art than most art festivals I've been to. Like, you know, usually you've just got the booths of 2 and 3D artists and maybe a music stage, but they had a bunch of like interactive sound and music exhibits. And they had I think it was the Portland Opera has like this little portable thing where like they arrive in a bus that turns into a performance stage. And there's a guy with a little tiny keyboard playing and there's two opera singers. And it's like, they were doing a much better job of kind of representing lots of different types of art, as well as really focusing on more of a hands-on, like, there was a booth where you could make monoprints and like there was a much more hands-on art experience kind of thing. So it's kind of cool. So I think he would be like, if we were ever to push for a Westland Arts Festival, that would be a good one to borrow best practices from for sure. Beata, do you know, were they historically part of the city? Cause I think that was Lake Oswego's kind of heritage, right? Like they used to be part of the city and then flapped their little wings and became their own.
I think they are not that old, I guess. Or I don't know. I don't want to say anything wrong, but yeah, I only know that they want to include like all groups as we did, or as we want to, like from virtual to like dance or music or the schools. So sort of the same ideas we have, but because they're a nonprofit, they have a different way to start with that. But with the historic, I'm sorry.
Any other comments or questions about that? Oh, Jody, you have your hand raised.
I do. Actually, I was just wanting to make a comment on the Westland Historical Society. Currently, we have one joint project with them that we're working on, which is getting an interpretive sign for the replica of the Willamette meteorite that's been moved to in front of the fire station in Willamette. And we have worked with the Historical Society and the Grand Ron to have the right language on there, and have hired a designer to develop the sign. And right now, both of the organizations are working on trying to find funding to get the sign created and placed there in front of the fire station with the model of the meteorite that was created years ago by some volunteers in the community. It's not an accurate representation, but it certainly is a historically important one. So we're working on that project with them to get an interpretive sign there about that.
That's great. Thank you. I mean, I think this is all sort of, you know, art and these kinds of things don't happen in vacuums. And it's really only with the help of many hands raising all the boats, to mix metaphors, that stuff actually gets sort of put together. I think it's good to look at different models. And, you know, since we are so new and just getting our little feet under us, I'm not sure you want to shift into looking at a new model yet, but maybe eventually. And it's good to see sort of how successful some places are in doing that. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to Christopher. I agree with Carrie. I'm not sure we're quite ready to have him come and tell us exactly what they do, but hopefully someday. that sort of just moved us right into the new business. So that's Wilsonville's art inventory process. And speaking of inventory, I think most of you have seen, I will share this now, the fantastically simple spreadsheet that we started. So these were the two items that I personally know about in the city and actually know what they're called and where they're located. I think, you know, this is definitely work in progress. Carrie, I know you had a comment. I'm not sure. So my thought was that information on the first page, like the first page, the overview tab here is really just everything. And then there's a way where spreadsheets are smart enough to pull out the different things. So you can look at different tabs for things. I know you can also filter up here, but I don't know if, say we want to let the whole entire community have access to this, if that's something that we want to enable necessarily. But I think there's a couple different options to sort of get into it. So thoughts, comments, questions?
So, and I don't know exactly what you meant by like enabling and making it accessible to everybody, but there in Google Sheets, unlike Excel, there is this distinction between filtering your own personal view and creating defined distinct views. So I believe that we could actually have different filtered views of this and actually provide separate URLs for each of those views. So if we say decided to make, and I'm not saying this is a good or bad or idea, I think at this point it might fall more on the bad side of the scale. But if we were to just take the spreadsheet and say like, hey world, here this is, and maybe just as like a view only thing, and if you want to submit something, then email us or whatever. I think we could actually have separate links if we wanted to be like, here's a link of sculptures, and it might all be the same spreadsheet. It would just be different filtered views. I'm not sure. The other way we could do it is like what you said, of saying like, if B2 equals sculpture, then populate the rest of that row. And we could do that too, but that might be more than we need to do to provide different views of just sculptures, just murals, et cetera, if that makes sense. That might be way more nerdy detail than you wanted at this point, but there it is.
I didn't know that was an option. So
I believe it is.
That's cool. Yes, that sounds easy. I'm all for easy. I mean, because it's, you know, presumably this is something we will leave for the next group and the next group and the next group. So this is as simple as it can be, probably the better.
So I wasn't sure if you want to have something in there, even if we don't know the actual name or what it is, because I know two things. And the third is the question if the meteor would be a piece of art. As a third, but the two things, and I guess you know as well, is this metal heron on the Field Bridge Park, what it's called now, before you go over the Tualatin River.
The one who's always dressed up for the holidays. Yeah. I love him.
I don't know if we have a name of the artist or what the official name is, but this is why I don't type it in or didn't type it in, because I wasn't sure if that is what you want, that we type it in first, that we have something, and then maybe later we figure out the exact name or what it is. Oh, from when it is, that's what I should say. And the other thing is, it's something about the paper mill, and it's down on Fulp Street, where the boat ramp is and everything, down in Old Town on the river. And it's a huge, I don't know, metal wood sculpture. And we walked by once and I took one picture. That's why I know that's there. So for sure what the name is or from whom it is, we have to find out. So those are two art pieces.
Jody.
Yeah.
Jody, do you know what that's called?
Yes, I raised funds for that. I know lots about that piece, that sculpture. It's the Grindstones Project. It's the Grindstones. That's the name of it, or the Grindstones Project. Basically, it's made out of grindstones from the paper mill, and it was commissioned by the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation. We raised funds for it over a number of years. And we went through the Clackamas County Arts Commission, because the city contracted with them to oversee any arts project, and we did it in partnership with the city. It's actually on PGE land. It's a right of way there that the parks control now, but there was a joint project, and I believe there, I think there was some city money. Most of the fundraising though came from the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation. And I can get you the name. Ken Warner probably has the name of the artist. The name of the artist is actually down there listed, I believe, on the interpretive panels about it. But if you can't find that name, I can find that out, because Sandy Carter worked with them and we have all the documentation on it. So I can get you whatever information you need. I also
I was wondering too, if you have the spreadsheet, if you want to have somewhere a dot, a link, whatever icon that opens, pops up the picture of it. You know, that we know, hey, yeah, okay, a heron, I know what that is, but what is the Grindstone Project, if that is the title, you know? So that we have
I don't know if that's the official title. Artist had a different title about papermaking. The artist named it, and I believe his name is listed on the interpretive panel there, as well as the name of the sculpture.
Yeah, but the same is like with the gathering, that could be, it would be nice to have a picture maybe. For me, I'm a visual.
I mean, I think there's, a lot of potential for a list like this where you have, where it's basically all crowdsourced and you have a gallery. I mean, somebody has to manage it is the only problem, but that you have a gallery and a map and the list, and whether you know what the title is or not, like, I mean, just like this example here, right? Like you saw a thing, you can describe it. Jody knows all about it. MJ, similarly with stuff in the library, like, these are literally the two pieces that I know of in Westland. So I think, I definitely think whatever thoughts we may have about how to open it up for crowdsourcing that kind of stuff in a safe way. Like, I don't know how to do it, but if anybody has any ideas.
I don't know, but I know I've always wondered about the two lions up by the reservoir off Skyline.
Lance knew something about those.
And those are on city property.
I remember Lance Calvert mentioned something about them. That I think it was like there was extra funds and they did that largely as kind of a nod to the high school. But my suspicion is that as soon as we put this out into the wild, any artist unknowns, title unknowns, et cetera, will become known by virtue of putting it out there. My personal opinion is that we should do our best effort to get a decent sized list going first and get that in reasonably good shape. And like do our diligence and, you know, like if there's an interpretive sign, like Jody's saying, like, let's go look at it and make sure we've got whatever data is, publicly accessible. And at the same time, I'd be happy to do this, begin researching. And I don't want to sign Andrew up for anything since he's not here this evening, but sounds like he's pretty technically savvy as well. But between the two of us, I'm sure we could figure out an easy way to, especially if we're all happily in the Google ecosystem. Like if we have a Google sheet, we could very easily, I would suspect, drop latitude, longitude data in here and have that automatically populate a map that we could link to on our website. So that then, you know, like you click on a spot, you get the photo, you get the information, and then we could also tie it into a form that allowed somebody to submit clarifications, corrections, missing stuff, whatever. But I think we need to do our own homework before we crowdsource it, because we need to have enough examples that people can look at it and see what this thing is.
So not typing in anything before we have a little bit more of an information. And because of that, there comes in mind that Mosaic, if you go off from 205, you know, before you go towards the high school, there's on the corners, this mosaic with, I guess, Mount Hood and something, and then the Rotary Club signs are in the back, and someone mentioned who did that or when. It's pretty, I guess, pretty old now, but this is also, someone knew about it. Who was it? Was it, no, I don't know.
Someone Elizabeth Rokia was the artist who designed it.
Sorry?
Elizabeth Rokia was the artist who did the design that they used for the mosaic. I don't know who actually did the work on the mosaic, but she was the artist who did the picture.
And Beata, I would actually challenge what you said about don't enter anything until we know more. I think we should start adding whatever itty bitty tidbits we each know now, because right now only we have this link. So right now we aren't going to run the risk of, you know, inadvertently mislabeling something or misattributing something. We kind of just need to start somewhere. So if we have missing bits and pieces, my suggestion is that we just start including those in the spreadsheet now, and then amongst our group, start filling in those holes, start finding those corrections, and then we can start putting something out there into the world. So it's my suggestion now is, unless anybody disagrees, don't be shy about adding stuff now. Don't let like lack of complete knowledge stop you at this point.
Definitely, if you feel like the columns are not the right call, like if we want to just, we can make it really basic for now, like description and location, and we could just have those two columns for now, and then maybe we can figure out more of the details later, so it doesn't feel like, oh, I need to know what kind of art this is and who made it and when it was made. Like, we can easily add a tab that's just description and location. And then I think Carrie makes a very good point that we don't want to go public with anything that's doesn't look like we've at least done something. And I think we've got time. Nobody knows that this is being done, so nobody's expecting to see it anytime
I'm
soon.
Live on YouTube right now.
Oh, right, except for that. but you know, the weather is getting nicer. People are getting out. I'm getting out more. So maybe now for the next 3 to 6 months is a good time for us to just kind of make efforts to do at least those two things of what does it look like and where did you find it? And then if we have more information or if we have resources of folks who have more detail, then it can be filled in the background.
In that case, I have a question to the long-term living in Weston people. So I know there are a lot of parks. Does every park has a sign? Would that count as artwork? I guess not, but that would be also maybe a fun thing under a different heading, all the parks and then all the signs that comes with it. Is that an idea? Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was an idea right now, but some parks have a nice sign, some don't. Like I see Mary S. Young Park, or even the park here, the Fields Bridge Park, does it has a sign? Maybe that's also what we can later on find out if some artists or school or who is always into art would like to create. Or as they ask us for the White Oaks Park, that has a sign. So is that kind of not really an art in the art list, more under a sign list? I don't know.
I think we can certainly put it under, you know, potential future projects.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I didn't want to just disappear, but I have to jump off to the police listening session right now. So thank you all for all your hard work.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks for coming, Mary.
The one thing I do know is that I think that on the city's website, the parks are listed individually with maps and with some historical information. I don't know that it has any content about the signage, but that might be something that you could link to as well.
Um,
Yeah, I mean, my just first inclination is like if there's some sort of interpretive sign versus a like, this is the park where you're at sign, that those things are different. But we sort of went down the sign path a little bit before in that.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because sometimes you have in the park some signage because there's something happening or there was something or whatnot. I'm not talking about only West Lynn, I mean in general, or the actually city sign when you come from Lake Oswego and see the sign, maybe that was created by an artist. I don't know, but maybe that you have a different section where you have these signage maybe listed, explain the picture of it. I don't know if that makes sense or not. That's kind of an idea I throw in the room, wherever the room is right now.
I would just want to be cautious of, like, that could become a slippery slope of art to signage to all beautification projects, which is kind of the slope we started to slip down a while back and then tried to climb back up. I seem to recall when we started talking about the White Oak Savannah project, I seem to recall that there was like an official standard of like all the park signs look more or less the same and that that's an established thing. Again, I guess I would see that more as a beautification effort or a design element to, you know, make something look nicer than it has to, but that being different from an officially commissioned or selected work of art.
It's like flower pots, right? Like the flowers on the streetlights, like beautification, great, lovely, so nice to have. Mm-hmm. Do we want to try to capture every single florist who's creating those and all of that seems
right.
Similarly.
Kind of a fine line, like it's definitely blurry.
Well, I just added a tab to the show you what I did. The spreadsheet that's just called the simple sheet. It's in front of the overview and it just says, where did you see, what did you see and where did you see it? So maybe again, collectively sort of, you guys should all have editing access. I'm pretty sure if that didn't come through the right way, please let me know. I can resend it because this is in my like personal Google. But I sent it to the board email address. So hopefully everybody on the board has access. But I would say, yeah, I mean, I think over the next few months, we just sort of get what we can get and start there. And then start building it up and filling it out a little bit. And maybe we get more ideas and more data about how to have a shared photo folder and how to have it linked to a map and sort of what that technically looks like, because that is not my strong suit at all. How does that sound to you guys?
I jotted down some of the technical unknowns about pulling some of those things together, and I'll happily look into those a little bit.
Great, thank you.
Lauren, I don't think I got that link or it went to my spam. And I just, so if you could send that again to our group, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. Cause right. I don't see it either.
A lot of times they go to my spam.
Yes, and I will, I'll send it to the board email address and then I'll also send it to individual email addresses. I just have to look at the list on the city website and then my Google is usually smart enough to know who's who.
I'm wondering if this will actually work now that I'm thinking about it. Because it's like when I accessed it, I think you'd already shared it with me. And so I was able to go in there and edit stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I'm guessing this isn't going to work because none of us are going to be logged in to the board as, or logged into
that email address.
But I don't know if it will be smart.
Carrie, I'm sorry, Lauren and Carrie, I can send you everyone's email in an email and then you could just send it that way to their individual emails.
That would be great. Yeah, I have Nancy. I have everybody who's on the call right now.
Okay.
Except for Jody. I don't have Jody. But yeah, if you could do that, then I'll make sure I get everybody included. That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Doug.
Well, there's another question, I guess, to Jody, because we talked about the other artwork in front of the music project. Is it that what it's called in downtown at the corner? What is that street? Where the McMillan's is, there's these
Youth music project. The Youth Music Project.
Yeah. So those were paid for by the Youth Music Project, and I believe they are actually on the property of the Youth Music Project, not on the city right away. So, I mean, I think we can list those, and I'm sure the Youth Music Project director would have the artist, I could guess, but I don't think I will, because I may be wrong about who created them. But those are definitely beautiful sculptures that they have there. I think there's also a peace pole or something, I don't know what they call it, in front of City Hall, that's actually an artwork as well that should be listed. I know the city got that. And then another artwork is that in the police station, the glass map in the entryway was also used, arts funds were used for that as well, with each project that was built after that tax was, after the funds for the arts was created for each public project. Those funds were used. That's where we got the Heron down at Fields Bridge Park, but also the glass panel in the entryway of the police station. That's another piece. So the City Hall column and that, the glass should be included as well. And I may think
definitely need you on our editor list, Jody. Yes.
I just been around a long time and
brain about that.
Yeah, well, and I don't know, Jody, actually, you might know about this, because it's, so at, inside Fields Bridge Park, there's a trail loop. And by the river, there's a tiny meteor, right?
That's it's a scale replica that was actually created by funds through the Ice Age Floods Institute, and in partnership with the city. It was done from, the actual meteorite is in New York and the Museum of Science and Industry. The group hired someone to do a digital scan, or I don't know, laser scan or whatever kind of scan. And then they worked with a bronze sculpture to actually do an actual correct replica of the meteorite. I guess you're right. I suppose that could still be considered art, even though it's exact as they could make it, replica based on the laser digital scan process. And I'm gonna say, who has the documentation on who did that? The Neighborhood Association was involved in it. So the city may have the documentation on that, but probably for sure, I think the Ice Age Floods Institute may have some documentation on it. There may be some on the interpretive panels that are down there along the river. There's a series of three or four. They're not in very good shape, but clearly they may include the information about who actually created the replica.
Yeah, that's what I always think of when we've talked about the meteorite sculpture thus far. I'm like, oh, that little thing at Fields Bridge Park that's going in front of the fire station, but I'm not familiar with the other one. So anyway.
Well, if you ever noticed it, the old one, the one I was talking about, had been in front of the Methodist Church on the corner of 13th and Willamette Falls Drive, or 14th, 14th and Willamette Falls Drive. And like I said, the history of it is actually on the panel we're working on. I'd have to look it up. But it was actually created by some volunteers in the city. They had some pictures of the meteorite and created that. And it was put together in the 50s or the 60s and was in front of the church for many years. It started out in front of the old fire station before they took the fire station down They took the fire station down. It got moved to in front of the Methodist Church. And when we did the street improvements, asked that that meteorite be moved back to in front of the fire station where it originally was.
There's also artwork in City Hall. I think when you go upstairs on that little wall where the stairs are, isn't it a mosaic or a painting?
There's a picture or something.
Things should be included as well, right?
And then there's all the historic photos in the chamber.
Yeah, right.
And I know the artist of that. He happens to
know all the things. Okay, well, as soon as Doug sends me the email list, I will send the link back out to you guys. So just,
I just sent it to you.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. So I'll get that to you guys. I'll do it when we're done here, which will be shortly, I think. Brain dump and the simple page. And then I think we can start parsing out from there. And then adding things throughout the summer as we see them. And I'm sure we'll have duplicates and it will be messy, but at least it's getting us started somewhere. So thank you in advance.
Did you create it this way that, let's say I put in Heron and the location and the next person, as Jody knows the name. Is there still space or can you widen the field to put more information in? Is that possible as you type that it automatically be shown?
Yeah, I mean, we can put whatever, the other tabs are still there.
That people can add to because they know more about it. That's my question.
Yeah, I'll just put a little note, artist. Story. Yeah, tons of room. Great. Okay, that's all of our old business and all of our new business. Are there any other board comments that have not yet been made?
I only have a question to Doug. When was it? Two months ago when we wrote that letter to the McLean house about that wooden structure outside. Is there any news about it? What the process is?
I talked to Mike Waters yesterday or the day before about it. They're still in the, there's a few more phases to go through. They were hoping to get a grant that I don't think that they were able to get enough information about. So I know it still has to go to the historic review board, and there's some other hurdles that they're facing with the city at this point. I mean, processes, I should say, not hurdles, processes. So as far as I know, after conversing with him, they're still in the planning and design and engineering, and then of course, potential approval process from the historic review board, and I also manage some form of the planning commission going forward, and then see if the city has the funds from the gold bond or other things for it. So no real movement since the letter was written.
I have some additional information, Doug. The columns were the custom tiles on the columns were from Ann Sachs. ANNSACS. And the person that may have pictures of all of that is Gary Eppelsheimer.
Right. I know Gary, I can call him.
Yeah. Because Gary and Alan did a stop action video, it's 8 minutes long, of the building of the new library. And I would be willing to bet that Gary has interior pictures too. He takes pictures of everything.
Oh, I know. I'm fully aware.
It's getting him to find them.
Yeah, Jody.
I think I have one more art. The quilt is still in the library from the Centennial, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was made by the Centennial Committee members, which were a group of volunteers from West Lynn and individual members. I actually have the book. There's actually a book. I bet you Doug has a copy of the book that lists all the women and men who contributed squares to that quilt for the centennial. And so I think that's a pretty unique artwork. And do you have the book, Doug?
Yes, we have the book.
So it's got this, there's a whole lot of artists, obviously, like 30 or 40 or something.
This has been an idea to get a link where you can find the book. So if the book is officially in the library and you can look at it, that would be great. So if we list that quilt and which group it made, but have a link to, hey, if you have more, if you want more information, so not writing it that way, but having a link, hey, that book is available in the library, then when people want to look at it, right? That would be a good, because if we put everything in there, what the artwork is about and whatnot, it's, I guess, too much.
No, it's a whole book. You wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, also with other artwork, I mean, even with the mill, if you start to talk about the mill, you know, then you have a whole, yeah, I guess a book.
Great. Any other comments or things that are on people's minds?
I had a silly little something I stumbled across that I thought might be of interest for future projects. I think I saw it like in an Instagram ad or something that there was a call for art for a project in, I think it was somewhere in Massachusetts. Doesn't matter. It's called Art on the Trails. And they have this project in some city that has a lot of walking trails where they have various installations along the walking trails. And I thought that could be an interesting thing for us to pursue at some point, given all of our walking trails, bless you. Where we could have, you know, sculpture or even 2D art that's, you know, covered in like an epoxy or something that you could engage with as you're strolling the trails, and it might make for interesting, you know, walking trail or, you know, like walking visits of the different spots, kind of in line with what we're doing with the inventory anyway, of how you could just explore, kind of like having a little art tour. So just something to keep in mind as a potential location for art that might not be as readily obvious as others.
Good. Have to keep up. I keep remembering new artwork. There's the geese at Maddox Woods. There's a bronze sculpture down at Maddox Woods.
Where is that? Can you explain it a little bit better?
Oh, you're not familiar with Maddox Woods. Oh, well, you need to go. I mean, it's quite the place. It has a wonderful, wonderful light exhibit around the holiday time. It's of animals. It's a wonderful feature. It's one of the Westland parks. It's down on the opposite end of the River Road from where McLean House is. So if you go all the way down that street to the other end, you'll run into Maddox Woods. And there's a path from there up to the library, to the sculpture garden of the library. And in there is a, I believe it's two geese. Somebody else may remember better. Doug, do you remember? You've been down there?
No, I think it's two though.
I think it's two. Anyway, the woman of the Maddox family, she raised geese. And so there was a sculpture made and put in the park in her memory. I think there's a little plaque on it as well. And it's actually in one of the Westlands parks. And probably the Friends of Maddox Woods, which is another nonprofit that supports the parks, probably do know the name of the artist. Dorothy Maddox was the woman who had the geese, but I don't know who did the artwork.
Thank you. Yeah, now I know which direction you were talking about.
I've been down there for the light show, but not the, not familiar with the sculpture. But there's a bunch of, like, I mean, there's so many hidden trails and parks and things. I'm sure we will just keep finding stuff over time. So Great. Any last words, thoughts, comments, questions? Wonderful. Well, welcome to spring, everybody. I think it's finally officially here. And I will see you next month.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.